Welcome to the Riddle of Faith podcast, where my dad and I invite you to listen in on our conversations about life and faith. My dad's name is Dale Riddle. He's a farm boy turned rock and roll singer turned evangelist. And my name is Tamsin, and I had the privilege of growing up with this larger than life father who flagrantly carved his own path and took us along for the ride. This season of the podcast is all about music, which was a big part of my parents' ministry. I hope you'll enjoy hearing the stories behind the music. So thank you for joining us. Let's get started. Hi, Dad.
Hey, good evening.
Hello. This one is interesting because we are actually, for the first time, just you and I in the same room recording this podcast. We usually are in separate states. I'm usually in Massachusetts, and usually I think we've done one other in the same room, which was with Mark when a whole bunch of us were sitting around the table. But this is our first time, just the two of us doing a podcast together like this. So this is fun. I'm glad we finally got to be face to face.
That's right. It's interesting.
Yeah. So we're going to continue our music series, and we're kind of going in order. So we did the first album that you guys did when you were in ministry was To the Glory of God. And we talked about last week, the theme song, which was the name of the cover of the album, which was To the Glory of God. And the other song that you wrote on that album is Heaven's Now. And we've actually talked about that song a little bit because I used that song as the intro to the podcast for the first season, I think into maybe part of the second season, because I felt like it was one of those songs that really captured your theology. But I want to talk about it in a little more detail today. We did talk about it a little on the End Times podcast. And so if anybody wanted to go back and listen to towards the end of that podcast, we did talk about this song and how that theology kind of layers into your feelings about the end time and your theology about that. But today, let's just focus on the songwriting piece of it and just sort of where you were in your life at that time and all that. So give me an idea of the song For Heaven's Now. What was the inspiration behind that song? How did that song come to be created?
Well, a lot of it was from being a pastor of a church. You're always trying, you know, to the whole purpose to preach the good news, to teach the truths of God, to try to build people up. You know, the Bible talks about how love edifies. Well, that's what you're trying to do. And even when I wrote that first song, To the Glory of God, for that group, that was just the first effort, you know, to try something. But then I said, well, maybe I can write something else. And this was the second song. And I sort of wrote it out of frustration of how I saw what the people were doing. You know, they were focused more for the future. You know, the Bible teaches today is the day of salvation. The Bible teaches take no thought for tomorrow. And if you'll notice, almost all of our gospel music is always, oh, it's hard now, but I'm sheltered in the arms of God. But because he lives, we're going to make it. Everything is just about the hope that we have in heaven. But nobody lives in the now. You know, you start about now, they don't get up and clap and cheer and joy about what's in their lives now. They're always seeming wanting to praise God for what might be in the future. And to me, the Bible and Christ's teaching says that heaven came down with Christ. He says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so my whole theology is different from a lot of the people that I met through the years, because one of the reasons I wrote the song also is that my people had been in my church had been brought up to believe all the different, there was about five different millennial views, you know. About the end times.
Premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial, all those. Yeah, we talked about that in pretty good detail in the End Times podcast.
And so that was frustrating for me because I'm a no millennialist. You know, I don't think anybody knows anything about it. And that it was written for the day that the people were living. It was written to the seven churches and Revelation, all that. And so I just got kind of fed up. And so then I just really literally, and I don't know why I did it in this way. It's kind of because no music much was out like that back then. But it was kind of a talking rap song, not a real fast rap like they do today's. But I don't know, I felt like I could actually maybe do a message in this song. And that's kind of what I did. I was singing all about the past and the present and the future again, you know, and what Christ can do and what's going on. It's always a sermon most of the time in the song. But I wrote this one out of frustration, but I thought everything they believe is just the Lord and mercy. I'm never going to get them changed because they're so messed up. And so it's kind of, I wrote it out of frustration, I guess you'd say.
Well, maybe that's why the song did come out the way that it did, because, you know, I mean, I'm not much of a rap song person, but rap is very, the roots of it were out of frustration and very aggressive. That, you know, it's kind of an aggressive sound. And so that maybe that's why it came out the way it did. It was just sort of a natural overflow. You know, it's sort of a, songwriting is sort of an overflow of creativity. It's like this outlet. It's a creative outlet for your expression. And it's like, I'm not surprised actually that it came out that way, because it was very forceful.
And it was very cathartic for me to get it out.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not the kind of things that I could actually stand up and preach and all this, because it was so against it. So I had a way of kind of preaching something through a song that I couldn't do in church.
Yeah. Well, I've always loved that song. And I understood why you didn't sing it a lot in the churches, because it was very, very different. And it sounded more like a rock and roll song than a Christian music song. And it was a hard message for people to hear, but I loved it because, you know, I just think that I like the now part. That's how you preach too. You always took the Bible and said, what does it mean to us today, right now?
You've got the heart of it right there. There is, that's all we have. We don't realize that. I used to tell people, you can't go back 1 second. You can't go forward 1 second. Your whole life is spent in the now. And why can't we learn that? But we're so anticipating something else that we forget to live in the now.
Well, the anticipation does give you hope when you're frustrated.
Yeah.
But I do think sometimes it's almost like an excuse not to make now, not to appreciate the now, not to make things better now, because you just think, well, one day when I get to heaven, it'll all be, you know, everything's going to be okay then. I won't be any. But then the Bible's very much about, it's active. It's, you know.
Well, you know, Paul even got frustrated with him, you know, and said, y'all just lay around and don't get up, you know, and do anything. You're just waiting for the return of Christ, you know. And he was torn to pieces because they thought, just wait it out, because they all looked for the return of Christ any day back then.
Yeah.
And because of it, most of them just shut down. Paul was mad as fire over that. And I see it, same thing happened today. They get sheltered inside their buildings and they get comfortable and happy and it's secure. There used to be an old song. I used to quote some in one of my messages, and it's actually in our Baptist hymnal. Says, "Hold the fort."
Oh yeah, you hated that song.
I hated that song because it's like, "Hold the fort, for I'm coming. Hold the banner high," you know. And it's like, you know, we're in trouble. We're just dying by the minute, but God's eventually coming. Hold the banner. Don't give up. You know, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord.
Well, and you also used to say that it would drive you crazy when people talk about hold the fort, or like that we're just sort of behind these walls because there's that whole verse about like that the kingdom of God, it's like the gates of hell will not prevail. What's that verse?
Yeah, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it.
As if we're supposed to be out there.
I said in that message, we're supposed to be out attacking the gates of hell. You don't take your gates and go fight with them. You know, you got to get beyond the gates.
Yeah.
And we're behind the gates. That's the problem.
Yeah. I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. And that's just all this kind of is caught up in that song.
Yeah.
You can hear it and understand the
words.
That
song is a great song. I love that song. So tell me about, so that's sort of the inspiration behind the song. Mm-hmm. And then tell me about the theologically, do you feel like it still lines up for you, or have you changed some since you wrote it?
Well, there's a few things that I really, when I talk about in the song. Now, it's true that the Lord's...
That the world will pass away.
That the world's going to pass away and that the Lord's going to come again. And see, I really don't believe in what we call the second coming of Christ, because I think that happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came to the earth, and we all say, well, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But then when they want you to spend it, I said, well, just the Spirit came down, you know, wasn't Jesus. Well, now you're separating them. You can't do that.
That is a radical, that's actually a pretty radical thought. That's you don't hear anybody talk about that, that the Pentecost was the second coming of Christ.
Well, I know, and that's one of my own kind of peculiarities. And I cannot figure out how we cannot believe that and Christ, again, during his ministry then, said, this generation will not pass away before these things I just said is going to take place. Well, either Jesus was lying, or he did come back like he said he would while that generation was there. And he did. But everybody's got it all screwed up. Most people have, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's here. He lives, we say he's here. He lives in us. And yet all the time we're talking about, oh, Lord, would you come down? Would you do, like he's not, he's like up he's here not somewhere with us. Looking
yeah.
at it.
Yeah. Well, and didn't he say too, I want to say I can't call the verse, but that he said the kingdom of heaven is not like out there. The kingdom of heaven is in your heart.
That's
what,
right.
Remember that? I wish I could call the verse where that's at, but so yeah, there is I think there is a misconception that the kingdom of God is sort of out there somewhere and we're trying to chase it down or like
kingdom
invite
of God,
it in.
You look in the mirror and you look at your neighbor and your friend, that's the kingdom of God.
Yeah, but it's not, that's not a popular belief. But anyway.
You know,
but
I'm old enough now, I don't care.
Yeah, and I think it is reasonable what you're saying, that the day of
but
Pentecost.
But I'm saying, you asked
time.
Me if our theology
yeah.
changed. No, it's not really changed. You know, I know the world's going to pass away.
Yes.
And by even science and stuff, I'm going to tell that. And the Lord did come again. And he comes in our lives every day as we open up to him. But to me, God is just the essence of life. And the Bible talks about it. In him, we live and breathe and have our being. And so to me, when I look out at nature, you know, I see God in everything. And we think we're real special, but, you know, if the trees all died, we'd die. If the water went away, we'd die. We're all interrelated to things. But somehow or another, we think, we're just special. We'll just hang on. God's going to take us. Everybody else going to hell. But how are we going to make it? We just hang on. Lord, have mercy. Well, I'm glad he's merciful.
And I'm glad that you wrote things like this and that you lived by it, because you definitely walked the talk when it came to your theology and what you believe, because you always did live like heaven's now. I don't know what's next, but I'm going to live it up, enjoy life to the best of my ability as long as I can. And
yeah.
Now tell me a little bit before we go, because we have talked about this song before, but I do want to ask you about this was the first album. We did four or five together. We did four together as a family, right?
That's right.
And then you had a fifth one that was like an early.
Back in the early 70s. Yes.
So, and I remember it was old enough. I was young enough at the time, and I'm old enough now that I remember A-Tracks. We had A-Tracks.
Yep. They only lasted about 6 months, and we lucked up. We ordered the 8-tracks I think maybe we ordered 500 or 1,000 of them or something, you know, to sell and give away at the churches. And as soon as we got rid of them, they quit selling. It was in.
Really? They just went to cassettes.
So. Yeah, went to cassettes. And luckily, we'd gotten rid of all our 8. My mother bought a player, you know, play 8-tracks just so she could play my tapes.
Oh, no. Yeah, I remember the 8-tracks.
It's out in the shop right now, the
old
player.
You got an old 8. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I remember the 8-tracks. I remember selling, you know, the albums and stuff. But so we recorded with the same people. It was only one album that we recorded up here in Mount Airy, but every time we would go record, we would go down to Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about you mentioned on the last recording that how Kenny became, you know, the go-to person for your first album, and then you stayed with him. But tell me a little bit about, I'm going to hand you this album. Tell me a little bit about the actual recording process and who played, because I find it pretty fascinating, some of the people that actually played on the albums. Tell me a little bit about them and about the process.
All right. Well, Kenny Wallace, of course, was our engineer. And whenever the song, what I would do with my songs that I wanted to record, whatever they'd be, I would sit down at the piano or with the guitar and I'd sing them in the cassette player. And I would sing them kind of the way I wanted to sing them, you know, arrangements, you know, because I did. Like one time I remember I was recording the old Rugged Cross, And Kenny said, you're doing Old Rugged Cross in 4/4 time. But the Old Rugged Cross is in 3/4 time. And I said, yeah, but I don't like it in 3/4 time. I want it in 4/4 time. He said, okay. I just wanted you to know that you're changing the whole metrical thing. I said, that's what I want. And when we got through with it, he said, you know, that worked pretty good. I said, I've never heard anybody sing it in 4/4 time.
It's fascinating to me that you could send him a tape of an original thing, and he could.
He sat down and wrote the numbers and make the arrangements.
And he would arrange it, and they were beautiful arrangements.
He'd make copies of that, and then he'd pass it to all the musicians, and they'd run through. They could all read that stuff together that he'd write out.
Yeah.
And we had Goldie Ashton did most of our drumming. I know he even drummed.
He was fun. He was a fun guy.
He was from Australia.
Yeah, he was a riot. He always had the cat hat on and everything. Yeah.
And then Roger Hallmark played on all of our albums and tapes that I made even after the family quit traveling with me. He played up until just recently. Kenny died pretty young, and I've heard that the others have all passed away now.
But wasn't the pianist like a famous person, or was
well,
he a guitarist?
Well, I had two pianists. The first one that played on this particular album, he only played the one time. His name was Oscar Carr. But there was another one on the second album. We couldn't get Oscar that day, and I said, well, who we got? And he said, the guy that plays for Tammy Wynette's available. And I said, well, he's going to call for me anymore than regular. And he said, no, he'll play for me, just like I always do. So after that, and he liked us. So every time then after that, he played piano for us, and he's tremendous.
Yeah. Didn't he have like a famous song that he played or wrote or something like that?
Well, now, Roger Hallmark had a number one hit in Birmingham one time when the Ayatollah Khomeini, you know, took over Iraq.
Oh,
and you remember,
yes.
And Roger wrote the song. He made People Magazine, everything with that song. But it was so
Khomeini, you meanie, or something.
Yeah.
What was it?
Khomeini, you old meanie.
I remember that. I thought Ray Stevens sang that. He
no,
didn't sing that. Oh,
Roger Hallmark, our guitarist, sang that.
That is so funny. I remember
and
that.
And if
song.
They had to promote it, it would probably really gone big time back here because everybody was so mad at Khomeini.
Yeah. Oh, God, I remember that. That's so funny. Okay, so are those musicians, it's funny what you take for granted, because I was 5 years old. We're going to talk on the next album about, like, I was 5 years old when we did that one, or four, I can't remember, four or five.
Mm-hmm.
And those musicians, you know, were so gifted, so talented. They were so sweet with us, though. They did such a nice, like, they just were really patient. And what I loved is later on, I didn't really appreciate it when I was little, but when I was 18 or 19, I think I was 19, when I had written my own album and we went down to record with them. And, you know, I did the same thing. I put a tape together and he put the arrangements together. And if it didn't sound like I wanted it to, I could say, oh, well, I kind of thought it was going to be like this. And they would on the spot, just the musicians could just change it and meet, like change the whole vibe of the song on the spot, and everybody adapted and just mm-hmm. fell right in. And it was just incredible and really fascinating to be in the same room with these musicians.
Yeah,
so
it's wonderful to, you know, everybody thinks I'm a musician, but when I hang around real musicians like that,
I know
I'm not all that
good.
Yeah,
that's like, I thought I was a singer until you took me to the Bluebird Cafe, and I realized, like, oh, man, if these guys are grinding it out for years at a time, there's no way I'm going to make it anywhere. So, well, this was fun, Dad. Thank you. I'm going to play the Heavens Now song at the end, like I've been doing, I'm going to do for all of the music podcast that we do. And then the next time we'll start on the songs that you wrote for the next album in line. So,
Sounds good. All right.
I love you. Thank you so much.
Love you. Thanks. Enjoyed it.
Before I play Dad's song, I wanted to let you know that I posted the lyrics in the show notes, but the song is fast and there are a lot of words. So if you want to see the lyrics while the song is playing, I also created a lyrics video for YouTube. I'll try to put that link in the show notes as well, but you can also look up the Riddle of Faith channel on YouTube to find Dad's songs. Okay, here is Heavens Now. Thank you for your time. I hope you'll join us again.
Some people are waiting for that better day when the Lord's gonna come again. They walk that straight as
and narrow way. They're trying so hard not to sin. Why, look at all the signs the faithful say, oh, this world is going to end. It's tough and rough to be a Christian today. I'm sad now, but it won't be when. When? It's always when. Are people looking for that better day? If Jesus came to give us the abundant life, and he intended no delay. When? It's always when. Why wait for that better day? But Jesus came to save us, bring us joy and peace. So heaven's right now for the sake. And now it's true that this world will pass away, and that the Lord's gonna come again. But life is a gift from God each day, and happy souls are important to him. So don't waste your time waiting for the rapture to escape this old world of sin. Heaven is now for believers to capture. It's now, praise God, not when. When? It's now, not then. Yes, there is that better day today. But Jesus came to give us the abundant life, and there's no need for delay. When? It's now, not then. Stop searching for that better day. But Jesus has saved us, brought us joy and peace. Yeah, heaven's right now for the same. And obey. I'm thankful for my home and the glory, but even happier for my heaven each day. When? It's now, not then. Yes, there is that better day today. But Jesus came to save us, bring us joy and peace, and there's no need for delay. When? It's now, not then. Stop searching for that better day. But Jesus has saved us, brought us joy and peace. Yeah, heaven's right now for the same. Save heaven's now.